May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah gives us this lovely invitation to start off this Advent season. Let us walk in light. It is appropriate as we anticipate the coming of Christ and are reminded that God is with us as we walk through the tough times in our lives, and as we seek to reflect some of that light in a world that desperately needs it. David Lose, I think, puts this Advent spirit best when he says, as the days grow shorter and the darkness grows, we light Advent candles each week to remind us that we do not face darkness alone, but that indeed the light of the world has come. And that come, shining in the darkness to illumine our lives and lead us forth not in fear, but courage, even joy. Advent reminds us that we are not simply waiting for the return of Christ, but that the light of Christ is in many ways here. We are to walk in hope. Christian hope, I think, is often a misunderstood concept. Hope is not simply optimism, a blind belief that everything is truly wonderful. It is not simple happiness, and in my experience, it does not always make me feel especially cheerful. Instead, it is the transformative notion that God is with us, or as Isaiah puts it, the light of the Lord is with us. Hope has changed my life. I remember going through high school in 11th grade, I was in a particularly bad place. A combination of struggles in schools, attempting to take on far too much, and a fear of the future and failure overwhelmed me. I lost my faith in myself and felt desperately alone. Though I had people I knew who loved me and wanted to help, I could not bring myself to accept help. During this dark time in my life, I started to find tremendous hope in the church. I found that the liturgy reminded me that I was not alone. And in communion, I found knowledge that no matter how I felt or what I thought about myself, God still loved me. That simple symbol and knowledge it gave me brought me enough hope, enough light into my life to keep going. It did not solve all my problems for me. I had to do that. But it allowed me to keep going until I was willing to accept the help of people who loved me and get better. Despite not having particularly fond memories of that year, I found that the hope I found that year transformed my life. Faith became less of an intellectual exercise and more an integral part of my life. I found that knowledge that the light of the Lord was with me pushed me not only to do the work to get better myself, but a desire to share that light with others and make some sort of difference. In many ways, that moment in my life started the journey that led me deeper into my faith. It started a journey that would lead me to Episcopal Service Corps and to Calvary. While I have found that vision of light has deep personal significance to me, the vision Isaiah gives is not simply a personal one. It is rather a vision of what the world would be like if we committed to walking in the light of the Lord. Isaiah's vision is one where the people of the world beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. In other words, Isaiah is looking forward to a world where peace so dominates fear and where we have no need to defend our honor or fight for resources in battle. The psalm gives us another vision of what this peace will look like, saying that Jerusalem is a city that is at unity with itself. The psalm goes on to say that all of the assembly of Israel will go to Jerusalem to praise the Lord. The psalmist's glimpse of God's kingdom is one where we are not only at peace, but where the divisions that so often define us are no longer important. This image of peace and unity must have been attractive to the people of Jerusalem at a time where they were caught between warring empires. But it also sounds nice to me, at a time when darkness of division and violence seems to be all I see in the news. This alternative vision of a world guided by the light of Christ sounds wonderful. This hope that we are walking towards is a hope I want. Unfortunately, I think too often we see this hope as something very far off, something that we sit back and wait for. Too often we Christians talk about this hope as if it was something that is only present in the next life, as if the light of Christ does not shine in this world. I am guilty of this fault. Today's gospel will not allow us to take this passive approach to hope or faith. Instead, we are told not to slumber through this life to the next. We are told that we are waiting is instead about acting, being active and acting if Christ could come at any moment. Despite how scary the imagery of this gospel is, the foundational message of Jesus in today's gospel is not one that is scary at all. There is work to do now. The light of Christ needs to be shared now. While this text does require us to keep our hand to the grindstone and make a difference, it is something I know many of us here are already doing. From the preparation that took place last week for the mission trip to Al Hogar, to the life-giving mission of Tender Mercies, we are well on our way to keeping awake. This should not make us complacent, but it should give us reason to hope. There is one more element, though, of the text I want to address. Jesus gives us two images for the end of times, and they're fun. Towards the end of today's gospel, we get the image of the return of Christ coming as a thief in the night. To me, there is an element of fear provoked by this metaphor. But at its core, all this metaphor is reminding us is that we cannot plan for anything of an apocalyptic nature by exact timing. Instead, we must just prepare ourselves. There is, however, one metaphor of this text that I can't make nice. The gospel tells us that two will be left in the field and one will be taken away. One will be left in the field and one will be taken away. This is a section of the gospel that has led many Christians to speculate on exactly who's going to be taken away. It has led to many a Christian debate and prophecy about the rapture, about timing, about its meaning, and about whether or not it's a literal rapture, a metaphorical rapture. Many fine, faithful theologians have engaged in this debate. I confess, I don't feel like I can participate. If you have questions, I'm going to throw the rector under the bus. And there you go. But I'm also happy to talk about it if you want to. But I will say this. Anyone who truly thinks they have an answer about the exact mechanics of the second coming is lying to you. There is very little indeed for us to do with any of this information. It can be a useful theological exercise. It can be good to hope for a second coming, a time when justice will reign. But the exact mechanics, exact timing, I think are beyond our knowledge. But what we can do is have faith that God will right the injustices of the world. And knowing that God today with us is always helpful. Looking for, as the Nicene Creed says, the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come certainly has spiritual value this Advent. But I worry amidst all of this that some of our debates have taken our focus away from these spiritual goods and instead encouraging us to thinking that we have more knowledge than we do. God's illuminating light is with us always. The Christ will eventually right the wrongs of this world, and we are all called to share in that light. And so this Advent, I want to focus on strengthening my connection with that light. that has given me hope, and I hope that I can recommit to being as much service to God and to as my fellow human beings as I can. The prophet Isaiah is calling us, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.